Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Everyone who ever sold even a single Bitcoin is now kicking themselves saying, I should have held on longer. I should have waited for this moment to sell. So there's a lot of very, I wouldn't say angry, but disappointed people, frustrated people out there is basically saying, I shouldn't have done that. I was stupid. I should hold on. I didn't have faith in Bitcoin and where it was going.
It's Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, and analysts. I'm Helene Braun, markets reporter at CoinDesk, and before we bring in our guest, let's have a look at what the market is doing. According to CoinDesk indices at 8 a.m. Eastern time, it looks like most crypto assets are in the green this morning. The largest one, Bitcoin, was up about 0.61% over the past 24 hours, currently trading at $70,645. Ether is trading lower this morning by about 0.2% at $3,576. Even after Larry Fink's optimistic remarks about an Ether ETF yesterday, which we'll talk about in a little bit, the CoinDesk 20 index is up about 0.93%. For more on the market's action, let's hear from Octavio Morenzi, CEO of Optimus. Hello.
Good morning.
Octavio, the CoinDesk 20 index, which tracks the performance of the top 20 crypto assets, has risen roughly 1% today. What market trends or indicators are you keeping an eye on? And do you expect some action in anticipation of Fed Chair Jerome Powell's speech tomorrow?
Well, in terms of the crypto index rising by 1%, that basically means it hasn't moved. I mean, we see so much volatility in that index and in Bitcoin as well, that 1% sounds like a very tepid, boring day where absolutely nothing happens. So I don't see anything really on the horizon today that's going to move things in a big way, one way or another, that there could be surprises there. But I think slightly longer term, we've certainly seen a tremendous run-up in that asset. And I think there's a variety of factors that are pushing that. I mean, on the one hand, we've seen basically earlier on this year, the SEC forced basically to accept Bitcoin ETFs, and that led to a lot of asset inflows. Now those Bitcoin ETFs account for about 3.5 to 4% of total holdings of Bitcoin, which is quite an impressive market share that they've been able to penetrate. Just this morning, we basically saw a bunch of them had really attracted quite substantial assets, in particular BlackRock's iShares product where they've invested in it. So they've really seen their assets under management more than double over the course of the past month, which is a very impressive number. The others have not seen that much move. They're sort of an exception. They're really the outlier, more than doubling in a month. So we've seen big inflow that sort of legitimized the space and is giving sort of a tailwind to Bitcoin prices, I think, overall as well. But I think another factor that's really important is sort of the geopolitical situation that is favoring assets like Bitcoin and gold. But basically, we're saying a lot of people start to say the situation in Ukraine and in the Middle East is looking increasingly worrying. I think in Ukraine, people expected this would sort of devolve into a sort of stalemate and they'd be looking at each other across a demilitarized zone at some stage. It looks like some of the comments that we've seen come out of France and some of the terrorist attacks in Moscow is giving new impetus to the conflict and that it runs the risk of sort of spinning out of control. And that is certainly favoring Bitcoin, gold, and other sort of risk haven assets as people try to hedge against that risk.
So with Bitcoin surpassing the 70,000 mark again, Do you see this as a sign that the recent downturn has ended, or is this increase merely a typical example of its inherent volatility?
Well, I don't know how many downturns that we've seen over the course of the past few years where Bitcoin has come down more than 80% over its recent high. There's been quite a few. I think there's been at least five or six, but I've sort of almost lost track in that. So I think it's a fair bet we're going to see another correction at some stage. It's an inherently very volatile asset, and that's part of the appeal, of course. But I will say this, that everyone who ever sold even a single Bitcoin is now kicking themselves saying, I should have held on longer. I should have waited for this moment to sell. So there's a lot of very, I wouldn't say angry, but disappointed people, frustrated people out there. Everyone who's ever sold one of them is basically saying, I shouldn't have done that. I was stupid. I should hold on. I didn't have faith in Bitcoin and where it was going. I don't expect to carry on at this level. Or basically, trees do not grow to the sky. And that is true of Bitcoin as well. At some stage, you sort of reach a level where it will stabilize. I don't know where that level is going to be, but I do expect other corrections moving forward. This is a volatile asset, and that has not changed. It will continue into the future.
I want to mention something from yesterday. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink said in an interview that even if the SEC finds ETH to be a security, it doesn't affect its decision to approve or deny an Ether ETF. If this is true, which you tell me if it is, why are people so worried about this investigation from the SEC then?
Well, I think the problem would be looking backward and the tax implications if it is considered to be a security. So that, I think, is what has people worried the most. Moving forward, as long as there's clarity on how it's treated and is it a security or is it not, or is it a currency or is it something else, I think that would be then fine. But I think someone like Larry Fink or investors want clarity in terms of tax treatment and how these things get treated. As it stands, there's a difference in the tax treatment for those different asset classes. And so that is really what people would be concerned about. I suppose you could say, is it a currency? Is it a collectible? Is it something else? Is it just a straight-up security? What capital gains taxes apply? Do you apply long-term or short-term capital gains taxes? Or do you apply collectibles capital gains taxes that you would have on that? So those are the things that need to be answered and clarity. But I think for BlackRock or for other asset managers thinking about offering funds in that space, it doesn't really matter as long as there's clarity and they know what they need to do. The problem becomes if you now said, well, this is a security and therefore there's a big tax implication and you should have paid 5 years worth of taxes on it. Well, that's going to upset some people, of course.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com.
What's your outlook on an ETF in May? Do you have an opinion on it, a prediction?
Well, I think, you know, the SEC was basically forced into approving Bitcoin ETFs against their better judgment. So they begrudgingly approved it basically because the court forced them and said, you haven't got the authority to decide what kind of assets an ETF or a fund may invest in or may not invest in. That's basically going beyond your remit there. So I think a similar argument would have to apply to Ethereum as well, to ETH, and in exactly the same with Bitcoin. So if the SEC is really challenged over this, I think they're going to have to say, well, the court's ruling does not seem to be limited to Bitcoin at all. It would apply to other crypto assets or maybe all assets, that basically the SEC doesn't have the authority to tell a fund you can invest in real estate or you can't, or in Bitcoin or not, or in stainless steel shovels if you want. That's basically up to you. That's not what they're responsible for regulating.
My colleague Aon wrote a story yesterday saying that concerns are growing among analysts about a potential short squeeze affecting crypto-related stocks, including MicroStrategy, Coinbase, and CleanSpark, which, according to analytics firm S3 Partners, have the highest, quote, squeeze score. why do you think traders are shorting these companies? Is this supposed to be a Bitcoin hedge, or do traders actually have a negative outlook on the future of these companies?
I don't think they're Bitcoin hedges as such, because you could hedge against Bitcoin by going to the futures and options markets, and that would be a much cleaner, more exacting way to do it. With these individual companies, there's a lot of noise above and beyond trying to hedge Bitcoin. So I think if you wanted to hedge a Bitcoin position, you'd go buy a go short a future or buy a put option or whatever you want to do and select the correct date for that. So that, I think that would be the most efficient way to hedge against a Bitcoin position rather than shorting stocks. No, I think the basically traders are looking at some of these crypto-related securities or companies in the US and saying, listen, regulation looks like they're tightening a noose around your neck, and they're bit by bit tightening that noose and trying to make life difficult for you. And sometimes they have setbacks. So, you know, we're talking about the Bitcoin ETFs and the SEC having to do that, but they're fighting back on other fronts. I mean, basically, the government does not like Bitcoin that much. And I dare say that if Bitcoin really lived up to its potential and became universally or widely used as a payment medium and started to displace the dollar, the euro, the yen, or something else, well, I think you'd be sure the governments pretty quickly would try and ban it and outlaw it and get rid of it because they currently have a monopoly on printing money. And people don't give up those monopolies very easily, and people fought wars over that. So it's not going to go easy this time either.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think Bitcoin is eventually going to replace other currencies like the dollar, the Chinese yen?
I think that might be a very, very long-term play. I don't think it's going to happen. That certainly is the ambition that Bitcoin was launched with, is basically to replace the central banks. And I sympathize with that position. I understand it. And it's a very libertarian kind of anarcho-capitalist point of view. And I have some sympathy for it. I would not cry over the failure of central banks, their disappearance at all. But I think these governments will fight back and fight back hard if it starts to look like it's moving in that direction. So I don't think that's really going to be the direction we see things moving in.
Finally, my other colleague Omkar wrote this morning that the market for tokenized U.S. Treasury debt is booming as the market value for these crossed $1 billion for the first time. What is driving the surge in demand, and how does BlackRock's recent interest in exploring tokenized assets influence the outlook on this sector?
Well, I think there's the headline news that there's $1 billion now in assets in tokenized, not directly the U.S. securities, but in ETFs or funds that invest in securities. And there's slight difference there, I think, that one needs to take into account. I will say this. I've heard about tokenized assets taking off for the better part of a decade now, I think. Maybe I'm misremembering, but it's been a long time that people have said on-chain assets, stocks, bonds, real estate, gold, jewelry, whatever you want, cars, houses, the whole thing's going to go onto blockchain. And I think in most asset classes, progress has been very, very slow. And these tokenized assets account for a minuscule portion of overall assets and an even smaller, a minuscule portion of trading volumes. And so we just don't see very much going on there. Now, $1 billion to you and me is a lot of money. $1 billion out of the US Treasury market is not a big amount, but it's substantial and certainly growing quite quickly from what we've seen. But if you dig a bit deeper and actually go look, because you can go look at these things, so they're on things like Polyscan and Etherscan, and you can actually see the transactions and the holders, it's kind of weird patterns that you see, that only a handful of holders of these funds. There's not a lot of movement back and forth in terms of transactions. So it looks almost like they're sort of prearranged trades where an institutional investor agrees with BlackRock or with Franklin Templeton, yeah, we're going to buy $100 million worth of that and park the money there and then just wait. And that's what it looks like. So it looks like to me a bit sort of artificial liquidity, testing the waters. And we've seen this done many times over the course of the past 4, 5, 6 years with tokenized bonds, equities, funds, and it never seems to really start to take off. Now, they've primed the pump a bit here. So this is the best experiment so far. But so far, all these experiments, and there have been dozens of them, have basically been very, very disappointing. And eventually the liquidity just disappears altogether. And people say, well, that was interesting, but it didn't really make much difference. And so I fear we might have this happen here again. I think the real problem, just to belabor the topic a bit, is that the people who invest in bonds need to have the advantages of investing in a DLT-based bond explained to them in their terms. And that is it lower risk? Do I get a higher return? Do I get better yield? Does it help me do something, optimize my portfolio in some way? If you're going to say to them, it's much better because it's distributed technology, they're just going to look and say, well, that's not really what I'm concerned about. It has to provide some sort of financial risk incentive an advantage to me. And if you can articulate that, great, I'll put my money in there and I'll put all my money in there if that's really the case. But so far, people have failed to do that and tried to explain the benefits in very technical terms that, frankly, most bond portfolio managers are not educated in or don't have much time for or don't really care about.
All right, we'll have to end it here, Octavio. But thank you so much for your insights this morning.
Thank you very much.
That was Octavio Morenzi, CEO of Optimus. And that's it for today's show. If you like this episode, or if you have any questions that you'd like us to ask on the next show, please leave a comment wherever you're listening or watching. Until then, tune in every day to get your latest markets news from me, Helene Braun, and my co-host, Jensen Assey.